Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone. Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I pray that you've had a wonderful afternoon and that you are walking with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, fathers, we open your word. I pray for the Holy Spirit. Come forward, take over, and bring to us the understanding and the knowledge that we need in order that we can walk as the children of Almighty God. Now be with us, Father, throughout this study, and we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. All right. We're going to be back in Acts chapter 18, where we left off this morning. We're going to find in 18, we're going to find Paul at Corinth and Ephesus. And we'll probably find that he finds just about as much trouble there as every place else he's been. Verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. He found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus lately, come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. They were all tent makers. Now, here in 4. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timothy were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And you see, it's that testimony he gives to these Jewish people that causes him an awful lot of trouble and causes them to turn against him and do everything they can do to get rid of him. Now, verse 6, and when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth, I will go unto the Gentiles. This is mainly where Paul leaves the Jewish synagogues and things and goes to the Gentiles. We know that the Lord had called him to be the apostle to the Gentiles. But he also had to be a witness to the Jewish people. Now, the Lord's leading him into Gentile nations. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshiped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Caiaphas, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. He's picking up believers here, and even ones that is being baptized unto the Lord Jesus. Pardon me. I've had some trees that have been bugged down during the storm, and they've moved them this afternoon, but it has stirred up a lot of things against my sinus. It's causing me to sneeze quite a bit. All right, now, verse 9, 8 told us that this chief ruler of the synagogue believed on the Lord with all of his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. 9, then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. In other words, he's letting him know, speak boldly and speak with truth. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. Verse 11. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. He spent a little time there. Of course, he's been there several times. But here, this just this one time, he's been there a year and 6 months. 12. And when Gallio, the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul. You see, always somebody against him. And brought him to the judgment seat. Now he'd been brought to the judgment seat. But you remember what God had told him in just a couple of verses before that. Now, here in 13, those that were bringing before the judgment seat, saying, this fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law. You see, that's what it was all about, was to get these people back out from under grace and back under law. That's what all of them that's against Paul is wanting, and wanting done. Here in 14. And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, if it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names of your law, look ye to it, for I will be no judge of such matters. He letting them know I ain't going to have no part of it. 16. And he drove them from the judgment seat. Then all the Greeks took Sophanus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. Gallio cared for none of those things. Now, here in 18, and Paul after this tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence to Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shown his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. Now we find even a lot that kind of got close with Paul and all at times and others, how they would walk contrary to the word of Almighty God. Now, come on down here now. To 20. No, to 19. Sorry. And he came to Ephesus and left them there. But he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. Here he goes, back reasoning with the Jews again, in the synagogue there in Ephesus. And when they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not. In other words, he wouldn't stay. 21. But bid them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem. But I will return again unto you, if God will, and he sailed from Ephesus. Paul's wanting to get back to Jerusalem. Now, I want you to notice something as we continue on through this book of Acts. Is he's got this strong desire to get back to Jerusalem, just like Jesus did, and like he carried. Now 22, and when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. 23, and after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Paraguay in order, strengthening all of the disciples. He's dealing with them now to, so they can get the truth out. 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Now, you see, he had been baptized the wrong way for this time period. Probably when he was baptized, it was still the time of the law. But it's not now. Now, he says, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Now I want you to really pay attention here and see what this verse is letting you and I understand and know. I'm going to read it again. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Now here this couple is, close enough that they are helping him to understand greater things, because he had only been baptized with John's baptism. And now they're giving him more insight. In 27, and when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. Now he's even helping others. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. This all came to him from the teaching of Aquila and Priscilla. Now, we're going to 19. And it came to pass that while Apollo was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Now see, this is also contrary to a lot of our churches that are teaching contrary to God's word. Now, they've asked them if they've received the Holy Ghost. They told them they didn't know nothing about it. They hadn't even heard if there be any Holy Ghost. Verse 3. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. You see, they had been baptized by John's baptism too. Now, verse 4. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. Paul, water baptism was for repentance and for them to start believing on the one that was coming after him, which was Jesus Christ. Now, 5, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. You see, under this church age, that is the way of baptism. We are all to be baptized in Jesus' name. And the 6th chapter of Romans, which we have read many times, tells us what happens at the moment that we are being baptized and baptized in Jesus' name. What is taking place? What's happening to us? And see, when you're not baptized that way, nothing has happened, because you've got the understanding. Now, verse 6, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Now, once they were baptized right and in Jesus' name, and then as Paul laid his hands on them, they received the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. Now, 7, all the men were about 12. In this little group, there was about 12 of them, the men. Verse 8, and he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months. 3 months he is speaking there in the synagogue, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. And that's what we need to be doing today, and standing firm and speaking out boldly and with the authority of God's word. And when we do that, we will see mighty and great things happen. Now, 9. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greek. He's getting around, isn't he? And we need to be getting around more greatly today, getting more people. If they can't attend our services, then let them know that there is a way they can join us by calling in to the service or catching us on YouTube. Now, verse 11, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. 12, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirit went out of them. Just handkerchiefs from his body or aprons that had touched Paul. Now was bringing healing to a lot of them. And even not just healing of sickness, but also the evil spirits they had in them had to come out. 13. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, extortionists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjourn you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. You see, they're going a roundabout way because they don't know the Lord Jesus. But anyway, they're trying to mock what Paul was doing. 14. And there were 7 sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered, not one single mistake, and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? You see, when you are and when you become a born-again child of God, the devil and all of his demons know you and who you are and what you are. 16. And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. He took care of 7. Think about it. The strength that he had of these evil spirits. 17. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, when fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Now, 19. Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. It's a lot of books and things being burnt because it calls it curious arts here, which is nothing other than a form of witchcraft. Now, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. 21. After these things were ended, Paul, supposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. So he sent into Macedonia 2 of them that ministered unto him, Timothy and Erastus. But he himself stayed in Asia for a season. And the same time, there arose no small stir about that way. 24. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen. They were getting all of their gain from making idols. And mainly, it was idols for Diana. Now, 25. Whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation and said, sirs, ye know that by this craft we have our wealth. Moreover, you see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands. He's trying to stir up trouble again for Paul. Paul just cannot get out of trouble. Stay out of it very long at a time. Now, 27. So that not only this, our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worship. It was widespread, Diana was. Back in the Old Testament, we'll be reading some more about her. About this goddess, so to speak. It was all just idle. 28. And when they heard these things, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. And the whole city was filled with confusion. And having caught Gaius and Artaxias, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. And when Paul would have entered in unto the people, the disciples suffered him not. They didn't want him to go in because they was afraid he'd be hurt. 31. And certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends, sent unto him, desiring him that he would not adventure himself into the theater, all trying to keep all out. Some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused, and the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. And they drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward. And Alexander beckoned with a hand and would have made his defense unto the people. But when they knew that he was a Jew, all with one voice, about the space of 2 hours, cried out, great is Diana of the Ephesians. Once they found out he was a Jew. Now, 35. And when the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, you men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how that the city of the Ephesians is a worshiper of the great goddess Diana? A lot of commotion being brought up against Paul and those that are teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. Worshiper of the great goddess Diana, and of the image which fell down from Juniper. Seeing then that these things cannot be spoken against, you ought to be quiet and to do nothing rashly. For you have brought hither these men, which are neither robbers of churches, nor yet blasphemers of your goddess. Evidently, they hadn't spoke against her or against any of the idols. They're just giving them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and telling about him and him being Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, 38. Wherefore, if Demetrius and the craftsmen which are with him have a matter against any man, the law is open, and there are deputies. Let them impede one another. In other words, they got something against them that, because of their wealth and all, take it to the law. But if ye inquire anything concerning other matters, it shall be determined in a lawful assembly. For we are in danger to be called in question for this day's uproar, there being no cause whereby we may give an account of this concourse. And when he had thus spoken, he dismissed the assembly. Now he's trying to get things calmed down, because even back then, commotions, regardless of who was causing them, could be in a lot of trouble. And he wasn't wanting that either. Let's see here. Funny is pretty long chapter. I think we'll stop here for the evening. Think about what we read in 18 and 19 and meditate upon that. And you might even want to go back and reread some of that, because there are places in there I know that should have been brought to your mind and your attention for you to really think about. And as we go through the New Testament, things are going to get stronger in this Word of God. Going to get stronger with the Lord our God and about the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And it's going to get a lot more stronger for you and I to accept this word, bring it into our lives, and begin living it. We've got to live it, not just talk about it, but we have got to live it, put it into being, bringing it to life. That's what it's all about. Because you see, the Word of God is life and death. It's life if we live it for the Lord God, and it's death, separation from him in hell, in that lake of fire eventually. Think about it. How you need to walk. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, now, as we close your word, we thank you for this word, Father. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. We thank you for this day, Father, that you've given us. And Father, I thank you for the work that's been done here at my home today. by one of my family members that came to give me a hand. Pray for him, Father. To pray that he will receive just rewards. Now, Father, as we prepare to separate this evening, I ask the Holy Spirit to watch over each and every one, to keep them in health, keep them safe, let them rest through the night, Father. But awake early and be back together in the morning in your word with us at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Father, we love you. We praise you. And we thank you for all things that we have. We know, Father, that you are a good God and you give us only good things and things that is for our good. Now, Father, watch over us through the night. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Have a great night. Hold on to God. He'll hold on to you. I pray that I see you in the morning at 10 a.m. Good night, all.